This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wal 'aqibatu lil muttaqin wa la 'udwana illa 'alal zalimin wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah ilahul awwalin wal akhirin. واشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our tafsir, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page 115, which is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the sixth juz of the Quran. In the previous episode we mentioned a number of verses concerning some of the rulings of Allah Azza wa Jal, from them theft and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed as a punishment for the thief, and that is the cutting off of the right hand. And then we mentioned a verse in which Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, addressing him, and how he shouldn't be grieved by those people who turn away from him, whether they are going towards disbelief or the hypocrites in the sense that they say one thing and then they believe something else, or those people who don't want him to judge in their affairs and they distort the meanings and the words of Allah Azza wa Jal and they speak lies. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shouldn't be concerned by them, because Allah Azza wa Jal has seen that those people are not sincere in wanting guidance, and so they have been misguided. And if Allah Azza wa Jal misguides someone, then their hearts cannot be purified and their souls cannot be cleansed, nor can they find guidance to the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to the Prophet, or speaks to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning these groups of people. And he says that they are from them, or from their traits is that they listen to lies. And from their traits is that they distort the words of Allah Azza wa Jal and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we've given a number of examples now from the beginning of our tafsir in Surah Al-Baqarah and other surahs. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this concerning the people of the scripture on a number of occasions. And it is on the same theme of these people and how they distort the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, how they spread lies and how they devour wealth unjustly, that Allah Azza wa Jal continues in the next verse from where we begin today, verse number 42. And that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سماعون للكذب أكالون للسحت فإن جاءوك فاحكم بينهم أو أعرض عنهم وإن تعرض عنهم فلن يضروك شيئا وإن حكمت فاحكم بينهم بالقسط إن الله يحب المقسطين. They listen eagerly to lies and consume what is unlawful. If they come to you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for judgment, you can either judge between them or decline. If you decline, they will not harm you in any way. But if you judge between them, then judge justly, for Allah Azza wa Jal loves those who are just. Again, Allah Azza wa Jal continues with the description of these people, and he describes them as saying that they are sama'una lil kadhib. They listen eagerly to lies. And that is a trait that is not wild or not good or becoming for the believer, for the one who wants guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal. Because as the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that lying leads to fujur, it leads to sin, and sin leads to the fire. Lying is not from the attributes of a Muslim or the one who wants guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal, because lies are falsehoods. Lies are things that are untruths. Lies go against what Allah Azza wa Jal has sent and what his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, because what they brought, all of it is truth and honesty and integrity. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that sidq leads to birr, it leads to goodness and righteousness leads to Jannah. And so therefore the Muslim isn't someone who listens to those lies, but those people who love to be surrounded by rumors and they like to peddle them, they love to make lies up and then spread them so that they become something which other people then may even consider to be a truth and they're not. Those are people that Allah Azza wa Jal says are from the worst of people. Not only were these people spreading lies and making up lies about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about Islam, about the companions, akaluna lis-suhd, they are people who devour wealth unjustly. They take bribes or they take money, and it's not something for which they should take any payment for. And unfortunately, even amongst the Muslims, you will see people doing that today. People who, when others come to them because they're in a position of authority or they're considered to be Islamic figures, people come to them and they pay them a great deal of money, and then they want from them help and advice, or they ask them to cure someone, and those people are taking their money and then they're writing stuff for them or putting stuff into some type of amulets, and it's not from the Quran, not from the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, other things that they're doing, and then they're saying that this is something which will help you, and it's all lies upon lies. None of it is truth. None of it is based in the book of Allah or the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they take the wealth of those people, take their money, and sometimes the money that they charge is a great amount, and those people are poor. Those people don't have a great deal of money, but they're saving up and they're scrimping and they're saving and they're scrounging in order to be able to get this small amount together so that they can go and give it to these people in order for some benefit that they want or some harm to be removed. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that this is from the worst of people. And so the Prophet, even though this verse is primarily about the people of the scripture, but the point being is that those attributes are things that you will find even amongst the Muslims, and they're attributes to be avoided. To devour the wealth of others unjustly is from the major sins. And to spread lies and rumors is also from the major sins. And the meaning of sama'un, that they listen eagerly to lies, some of the scholars of tafsir said, is that they believe them, they respond to them. Also, not only that they listen, but they're responding and they're believing and they're also spreading them to others as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن جَاءُوكَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ وَعَرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. These types of people, when they come to you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to judge between them, then choose. Either to judge or to decline. And so sometimes you would find, for example, groups from amongst the Jews or others would come and they would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to settle their dispute. And that is because they knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man of justice, a man of fairness, a man of truthfulness and honesty and integrity. So sometimes they would come. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, you have a choice, because they're not going to accept your sharia. They don't want to necessarily accept your laws. So you have a choice between them. But if you're going to judge, وَإِنْ حَكَمْتَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْطِ. And if you wish to judge between them, then do so justly, for indeed Allah loves those who are just. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once brought to him from the Jewish community who had committed zina, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked to judge in his affair. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the assembled Jews, "What do you find in your Torah concerning the punishment of a zina?" They said that we found that, oh Messenger of Allah, that you just flog them or you imprison them or you do something like this to them. So then Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu used to be from the Jewish scholars and then accepted Islam. He said, O Messenger of Allah, they're lying. Ask them to bring the Torah. It says in there that they should be stoned to death. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to bring the Torah. And as they were reading, the man who was reading from the Torah, he was covering up a part of it. Abdullah ibn Salam said to him, lift up your hand. So he lifted it up and he found there the verse of stoning. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam judged accordingly, because that is also our sharia. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, is being told, you have a choice, either judge or don't judge. But if you judge, then judge justly, meaning with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla then says in verse number 43, وَكَيْفَ يُحَكِّمُونَكَ وَعِنْدَهُمُ التَّوْرَاتُ فِيهَا حُكْمُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّوْنَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and how can they possibly come to you for judgment when they have the Torah with Allah's judgment and even then still turn away? These are not the believers. Allah azza wa jalla is saying, what reason do they have to come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking for your judgment, asking you for your laws, asking you for your consideration in this issue, when Allah azza wa jalla gave to them the Torah in which they will find Allah's laws? Allah Azza wa Jalla already gave them that guidance at the hands of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that if they were sincere, meaning that they were sincere and they were honest, then what they would do is they would apply the laws of Allah that they find in their own scriptures. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in the case of that woman from Quraysh who stole, and then they wanted someone to go and speak to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam on her behalf and intercede, because she was from a noble family and they didn't want her to have the punishment of theft upon her. So they chose Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma because of his closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go and intercede. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam became extremely angry and he said, أَتَشْفَعُ فِي حَدِّ مِنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ. Are you seeking to intercede in one of Allah Azza wa Jal's laws of punishment? By Allah, those people who used to come before you were destroyed, because when the noble amongst them would steal, they would let them off. And when the weak amongst them would steal, they would place the punishment upon them. And so they would choose what works and what doesn't work. These people, we want to curry their favor. They're wealthy, they're rich, they're people of status, they're people of nobility. So with them, we're going to be easygoing. And with everyone else, the poor, the weak, the man who may even have stolen because of his circumstances, because of his desperation, no, we're going to be strict with them and apply all of the laws to the letter with them. That is not justice and it's not fairness. And so the Prophet ﷺ disliked what the companions were trying to do in this case, and it was a learning point for all of them. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the same hadith that even if Fatima, my daughter, was to steal, I would take off her hand. There is no way in which you can dilute the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla or change them depending upon the person in front of you. But that is what they used to do. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to them the Torah, in which there is all of Allah's laws. So what reason do they have to come and seek judgment for you? وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. But these are the people who are not believers in Allah Azza wa Jalla. They don't have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the important lessons for us in this ummah as Muslims from these verses is the importance of judging by Allah's laws. Now, when you're in a country in which the laws are not the laws of the Sharia, then you are duty bound to follow the laws of that land in those issues that come upon you. So for example, the law says that you have to pay certain taxes, you pay certain taxes. And especially if those laws, that may not necessarily be Sharia laws, but they don't go against the Sharia. And there's a lot of detail in this issue. But for example, some of the laws don't go against the Sharia. So for example, driving laws, the fact that you stop at a traffic light, that you wear a seatbelt, these are laws that make sense and they're good. And everyone, even in the Muslim countries, will abide by them and have them because they are laws that are for the betterment of the whole community. Such laws are things that should be accepted. And then there are laws that may go against the Sharia, but it is the law of the land and you have no choice, because by living in those countries or in these countries, you make this agreement that you will abide by the laws of the land. And this sense of vigilante justice that unfortunately you do find on the odd occasion in some communities or some people that they go and do this, that's not from our religion. And it's not something which should be sanctioned or allowed in any way, shape or form. And you're patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that scenario where the laws of Allah are not going to be placed upon people or yourself, and you have to deal with the laws of others. And then there are laws that you can use the Sharia in, and it's permissible for you to do so. It's lawful in those countries for you to do so, and there is no harm for you in doing so. So for example, in marriage, for example, in divorce, for example, in inheritance, there's no reason why as Muslims we can't use the laws of Islam. And sometimes we can use those laws within the general framework of the wider laws of that society. So there's no reason why, for example, a Muslim cannot have a Muslim and Islamic nikah. There's no law that says that is haram, or that is unlawful, sorry. There's no law against it in these countries. Likewise in divorce, likewise in inheritance. And so therefore, where a person is able to use the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal to the best of their ability, they should do so. And so it's a common mistake, for example, that we don't have the laws of inheritance. Or for example, when it comes to divorce, we'll go out of the laws of Islam because they're not working for us. It's not in our benefit, so we're going to go and find some other types of laws, even though we don't have to. It's a choice that you make. There's a difference between what you have to do because you are duty bound by law to do, and what is a choice for you. Where you have a choice, then no doubt the default for the Muslim should be the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal and the laws of Sharia. And that is from the iman of a person. And you do that even though it may be difficult for you to accept, or sometimes that may be not in your favor, the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jal. But that is the iman that you have in Allah Azza wa Jal. And know that whenever that is the case, that you submit to the laws of Allah, even though they may be difficult for you to bear, or it may not necessarily be in your favor, that particular judgment, and by going and taking another recourse, you could possibly get a judgment in your favor. Know that by being patient with Allah Azza wa Jal's laws and His decree, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you a great reward. You have a great reward, because some people will have to abide by those laws in Muslim countries because they have no choice. You have a choice, and shaitan and the dunya is tempting you, but you are still restraining yourself, and you sacrifice and leave something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You could have got that wealth or whatever it was, but it wouldn't have been halal for you. You know that that's not what the law of Allah Azza wa Jal says. So you sacrifice it for Allah Azza wa Jal. You give it up for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَوَّضَهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ. Whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, Allah will give to them something better in its place. And so we should be people as Muslims who are happy with Allah Azza wa Jal and His laws, as Allah Azza wa Jal says elsewhere in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, it is not befitting for the believing man or the believing woman that when the judgment of Allah comes, they should have any choice in the matter. That's not the attribute of the Muslim, that they don't like the judgments of Allah or they find it difficult to accept. Rather, the attribute of the Muslim is that when they hear that this is the law of Allah or the law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, "Sami'na wa ata'na," we hear and we obey. In the following verse, verse number 44, Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
"Inna anzalna at-Tawrat fiha hudan wa nur يحكم بها النبيون الذين أسلموا للذين هادوا والربانيون والأحبار بما استحفظوا من كتاب الله وكانوا عليه شهداء فلا تخشوا الناس واخشوني ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون.
We revealed the truth with guidance and light, and the prophets who had submitted to Allah judged according to it for the Jews. So did the rabbis and the scholars in accordance with that part of Allah's scripture which they were entrusted to preserve, and to which they were witnesses. So do not fear people, fear me. Do not barter away my messages for a small price. Those who do not judge according to what Allah has sent down are rejecting or disbelieving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after mentioning in the previous verse, that why don't they judge by the Torah, in which we sent down to them the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in this verse number 44, "Inna anzalna at-Tawrata fiha hudan wa nur." We revealed to you the Torah with guidance and light. And every one of the scriptures and revelations of Allah Azza wa Jalla in their original form contained guidance and contained light. And it was the way and a path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the belief of the Muslims. It is part of the articles of faith that we have. The rule of the books of Allah Azza wa Jal, the divine revelation that Allah gave to whichever prophet he gave them to. Whether we know those books by name, such as the Torah and the Injil and the Zabur and the Quran, or whether it's generally that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed books to certain prophets and we don't know their details, we don't know their names. We believe that every single one of them in their pristine form was the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it contained guidance and light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and told people what they needed for the betterment of their dunya and their akhirah, for this life and the next. That is the iman of the Muslim. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that here in its original form though, because those texts have been tampered with, they've been distorted, meanings have been added and changed, rulings have been taken and amended as we know. And so therefore, those books are no longer the Torah in their original form. What is preserved or what is from amongst them still in the original form is still Huda and Nur. It is still light and guidance. But we don't always know what is or isn't in its original form. Allah Azza wa Jalla says concerning the Torah when it was revealed, يَحْكُمُ بِهَا النَّبِيُّونَ الَّذِينَ أَسْلَمُوا. That the judgment, the prophets that Allah sent, who ruled and judged by the Torah, they used to submit to the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla and judge according to that for those who were the Jews, لِلَّذِينَ هَادُوا, for their communities, for the people who were the followers of the Torah. They used to judge in accordance to the Torah. The prophets that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to Bani Israel would judge in accordance to it. As if Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that if it was good enough for the prophets of Allah to take and use as a source for judgments and rulings and guidance, then why isn't it good enough for the people who claim to follow them? Those people who claim to believe in the Torah, why would they not fulfill every single law of Allah Azza wa Jalla? And likewise, the same could be said for Christians. Christians believe that the Bible is the word of God and it contains the Old Testament and the New Testament and it contains many of these rulings and these laws that are still there in some form or another. But they will change them and they will say that it's no longer valid or that the circumstances change or whatever it may be, and they have amended those laws of their own accord. Not because a prophet came and said, no, change this now or amend this now. It's because their leaders and their figures of authority decided that it was no longer something which is applicable, and so therefore they changed those laws. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if it was good enough for the prophets, who are the chosen servants of Allah, whom Allah Azza wa Jalla anointed and chose to be his representatives upon earth, then why isn't it good enough for everyone else? And not only them, وَالرَّبَّانِيُّونَ وَالْأَحْبَارِ, and their true scholars and rabbis, meaning who were sincere in their knowledge and in their faith, بِمَا اسْتُحْفِظُوا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَكَانُوا عَلَيْهِ شُهَدَاءَ. They also ruled in accordance with that part of Allah's scripture which they were entrusted to preserve and to which they were witnesses. Those scholars who studied and learned and they were sincere in their faith from those scholars of Bani Israel, they also said that these are the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and their remnants of them remained all the way until the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know of the likes of of Zayd ibn Amr and Waraqa ibn Nawfal, and likewise some of the Christian rabbis and monks and priests, Jewish rabbis and Christian monks and priests that some of the companions came into contact with before they came to Islam, such as Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anh, and others. And so therefore those people were still there, remnants of them were there. Allah Azza wa Jal praises them as well, because they at that time still tried to ensure the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal were followed. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives this instruction. And by the way, just as Allah Azza wa Jal is speaking about this, about the previous scriptures, it can be applied to us in our way. Isn't the Quran, all of it, light and guidance? And if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam judged by it and ruled according to it, and he's the best of Allah's creation, then isn't it good enough for me and you, for my family, for your family, for my community, for your community? And likewise the scholars who throughout the ages, from the times of the companions and their students and those who follow them in righteousness, have preserved for us the rulings of the Sharia, traveled across the world to preserve the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wrote and authored multiple books on these topics and subjects, so that we would know the religion of Allah and know the laws of Allah and know the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, those people have done their duty. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلَا تَخْشَوُ النَّاسَ وَخْشَوْنِي. So don't fear the people, fear me. Those rulers, those people in positions of authority, the scholars, shouldn't fear anyone except Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise the believers of those prophets of Allah shouldn't fear anyone except Allah. And so sometimes it is difficult to, especially when the person who is involved in the case is your family member, someone close to you, your friend, someone beloved to you, and they're the ones now that you have to deal with. That's when personal emotions come in and the temptations of the dunya. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and do not barter away my verses for a small price. That is when people take money so that they don't have to exact or have the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal enacted in one way or another. Allah Azza wa Jal warns against these people. Don't be from amongst those people, because it is not from the traits of the believers. So therefore the scholar should be someone who doesn't fear anyone except Allah Azza wa Jal. And he should be someone who is not doing something for the sake of the dunya, in order to get people's wealth or their approval or their money. But he is sincere, and he has sincere advice for Allah and for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and for his religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this verse by saying, وَمَن لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. And those who do not judge according to what Allah Azza wa Jal has said, then they are the people of kufr. They have disbelieved. And that disbelief can either be the major disbelief, and that is that when a person rejects Allah's laws and says that they're not appropriate or they're not applicable or they're not good enough, that is major disbelief. Or it may be a minor form of disbelief that doesn't take a person outside of the fold of Islam, and that is that when someone knows that these are the laws of Allah and they are better and they should be followed, but because of their weakness or one reason or another or the circumstances, they have chosen to do something else. Those people are still Muslims, but they have committed a major sin. In the next verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse 45, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ وَالْأَنْفَ بِالْأَنْفِ وَالْأَنْفَ بِالْأَنْفِ وَالْأُذُنَ بِالْأُذُنِ وَالسِّنَّ بِالسِّنِّ وَالْجُرُوحَ قِصَاصٌ فَمَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ فَهُوَ كَفَّارَةٌ لَهُ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. In the Torah we prescribe them for them a life for a life, an eye for an eye, a nose for a nose, an ear for an ear, a tooth for a tooth, an equal wound for a wound. If anyone forgoes this out of charity, it will serve as atonement for his bad deeds. Those who do not judge according to what Allah has revealed, they are the oppressors. In this verse again, we have one of the rulings of the Torah that Allah Azza wa Jal also placed within our religion. And that is that if a person does harm to someone, they should be punished in a similar way. Someone takes off someone's ear, they can be punished in a similar way. Someone takes out someone's tooth, they can be punished in a similar way. Someone takes off someone's hand, they can be punished in a similar way. And so Allah Azza wa Jal gives equal retribution. Those people can't go overboard. Someone harms them by taking out a tooth, they go and kill them? No. Because now they have become the oppressor. They have done harm. So Allah Azza wa Jal gives equal retribution, as was also found in the laws of the Torah. And Allah Azza wa Jal then says, and whoever wishes to give away or to forego or to forgive, then that is something which is good. Someone who does this out of charity, forgives for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them in return for their sins also. But this is also from the laws that they found within the Torah, and it is something that you find, as we've mentioned before, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is blood money that is due for a person that does certain things like this. So for example, taking off someone's limb, or taking off a part of their body that they need, that is crucial to them, like an ear or the nose or something like this, the Sharia has the diya. It has the different types of blood money that is due as a result of this, or that they can seek to have a similar type of revenge, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, and those who don't rule and judge according to Allah's laws, then those are the people who have oppressed themselves. And again, as we said, that there is a difference between those people who refuse to rule by Allah's laws and judge according to them because they reject them and they disbelieve in them. That is major disbelief and they leave the fold of Islam. And then there's a difference between those people who accept that they are Allah's laws, but they don't rule according to them for one reason or another, for whatever it may be, dunya, whims, desires, whatever it may be. Those people are still Muslims, according to the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, but they have committed a major sin, and it is something that they should make tawbah for to Allah Azza wa Jal. And with that, we come to the conclusion of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.